Good morning, Tony. It's so nice to see you and to hear you, actually, rather than see you. I wish I could see you. But it's been a long time, actually. And the last one, of course, was from New Zealand, wasn't it?
That was interesting. I tell you, that was a lot of fun. That was because the sound came back brilliantly on that one, and
Excellent.
I know that. Well, everything's upside. Well, literally, quite literally, everything's upside down there. We're heading into spring and towards summer, and of course, they're heading in the opposite direction from summer into autumn
That's
and
right.
winter. So, are the planting seasons exactly the opposite way round there to here?
Yes, there is no difference, to be quite honest. They do get a little bit warmer weather than we do on occasions. But saying that, of course, we had a really good summer, didn't we, last year?
We did.
So I think climate change is affecting everybody, let's put it that way.
Now we're getting some warm summers, which is for many people rather nice. Sometimes for me it's a little too warm, but hey, small
You can
price
put
to
up
pay.
with a few days of hot rather than all this wet that we've been having
I
recently.
think so, yeah. I think we're seeing the signs that well, this week certainly is looking pretty good and fair set
Good.
with some sunshine, and it's a good time to actually catch up with perhaps some of the things that we missed doing or couldn't do because of the weather. So it's either clear up the garden, rake over the mess that were the seeds that you planted beforehand when you thought the weather was getting nice, and I think we've got to start all over again, haven't we?
I think so. I mean, in my own garden at the moment, I mean, I've got a very large conservatory. I
Yeah.
mean, a very large conservatory, not heated, other than I've got underfloor heating on if I need it, but I don't put it on because I'm mean. And it's got one radiator in it. So it does, the temperature fluctuates, but I've got two electric propagators which are full. At the moment,
Yeah.
I've been seed sowing like there is no tomorrow because I think I've missed the boat in a couple of things, but not too much.
Yeah.
I like getting peppers in early because they have a long growing season, so they're up and doing. I'm just about to prick those out into smaller pots, and my tomatoes are all in. I've got some dwarf beans in. And I'm doing all sorts of, well, let's put it this way. I've got a thing called Echium blue bedder, which is a form of Echium, but it's dwarf and it's hardy. But the bees absolutely love it, and so I'm putting a border around my allotment so that I can actually encourage those bees in, and not only bees but the pollinators as well.
But it's good to, do anything that helps the bees at the moment, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. gonna say, you talk about planting seeds. Now we put some in before probably a little early, and they didn't survive, so we redid them again just when we thought the weather was getting nice. Bought a very nice wooden trough, funnily enough, to grow some beans in,
Yep.
some runner beans, and got the stakes up and all the rest of it. Got them, propagated them indoors, planted them out in this wooden trough, and they've over the last week been battered a little bit, but we
Yeah.
think they're holding on. They should now be okay, because I think it's warm enough now for them to survive properly.
Well, I don't think so, actually.
No?
Have you got runner beans in?
Yeah.
Yeah, too early, Tony, too early.
Oh,
Honestly,
I'm not sure
really
you
too
must be a
early.
babe till that.
Yeah, really sort of honestly too early.
Yeah.
If you've got them in pots, leave them really until middle May.
Yeah.
Sow them beforehand, but plant them round about middle May, and you'll find you'll get a much, much better crop. What I'm doing at the moment is I'm growing some dwarf French beans.
Yeah.
And the reason that I do that now is because I can't plant them out now. It's too early and the soil is too wet anyway. But I grow them on the floor around my grow bags, which my tomatoes will go in. And so they're protected, but at the same time, they're ready to grow. And then I use that as almost like what we call a catch crop before my allotment comes into its own.
All right. Oh, okay. So we're a bit early with the beans. We're still waiting on the garlic, and that's coming up nicely, and we're leaving that until...
Garlic's fine, yeah.
End of May, June, and it's looking really good. Potatoes are in, peas are in, and they're looking reasonable as well. So, but they're all under these... we've got these cloth tunnels, so let the water through, but it stops the wind and actually stops... our four-legged friends from getting in amongst the plants. It's the only way I can say it. The sowing season. What else should be going in? As the weather, as I say, this week is looking pretty fair set. Yeah. It's a good time, probably, I would guess, to sow various different things, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Any of the half-hardy annuals can go in now. I've also got my tomatoes going in. Now, I grow, which is an interesting one for somebody like yourself, actually, who hasn't got a huge amount of growing area but needs to grow something. And not only that, it's good if you've got grandchildren. Mm. And I grow a variety of tomato called Tumbling Tom. Right? Tumbling Tom is a bush tomato, so you don't side shoot it, you don't do anything with it. If you go to the garden centre, you will find some already quite big at the moment. I would resist buying them literally now.
Why is that?
I would wait for a couple of weeks and then buy a couple, or you can sow the seed now and grow them on yourself. But what they are, you can grow them in pots, you can grow them in hanging baskets. Or wherever you really want to, but they have such a phenomenal crop. You don't have to do anything to them at all. You just feed them. And I usually use a high potash feed, and I put them in ordinary peat-free compost with a little bit of John Innes mixed with it. So I mix in, I do a peat-free compost, little bit of John Innes with loam in it, or soil, for want of a better expression.
Yeah.
And mix that together, and then I feed, and I feed potash, and I feed that half strength every time I water.
Mm.
Now, the trick is not to water all the time. So if you can imagine, usually people say, oh, well, I've got to do it first thing in the morning, I've got to do it last thing at night. And you've got to do it every day. Does depend on the weather. But with a very young plant particularly, that what you've got is young roots really just about to search out for water. Now, if you keep feeding those and you keep watering them, the roots don't bother. So they're not going to grow at all. So you don't need to feed water every single time you walk past
the plant. Even if they look dry on the top?
If they look dry, as I say, you've got things on the end of your hand called fingers.
Mm.
Feel the top of the soil. And if the soil feels dry, water. Water once and then forget it for a couple of days.
Oh, right. Okay. That seems to be a thing because, say, again, going back to these beans, they're thriving. They're doing okay. They're much taller than we expected them to be, but if we don't water them, they kind of start to sort of fade a little. So you give them some water, and up they pop again, and they're on their way again.
Yeah.
So it's a really bizarre thing.
Be a little careful, Tony, because we have been known to have frosts in May. And I went out to listen to a talk last night at one of the horticultural societies, and my car, as I was driving back, said, came up on the dashboard, "Beware, ice on the road."
Very clever, these cars, is all I'm going to say about
that. Aren't they just?
The other thing to take into account with all of this is it doesn't matter what time of year or what particular plants it is, there are pests out there and all sorts of things that get in the way of your plants actually and your crops actually growing properly, and sometimes they get seriously damaged by, say, pests of all different sorts. How do you deal with them?
Well, if your plant is growing healthily, that means that you've got good compost in the bottom and you're feeding that plant well. You keep it protected from frost and the wind. then a lot of pests don't actually attack them. So pests will usually attack things which are stressed, for instance.
Right.
Like if you've got a plant in a pot that hasn't been fed for donkey's years, mm-hmm. Which, you know, people do have, you know, but you'd be surprised. I talked to someone last week and they said, oh, I've never fed that. How long has it been in a pot? Well, 10 years. So, you know, it's the same as our bodies, really, isn't it? If we feed them and we don't sort of overindulge in anything, then really we fight off an awful lot of these coughs and colds.
Yeah. I'm thinking more about the things that are also in the soil, you know, the slugs and those sorts of things. And they kind of help themselves. It's like a feeding frenzy sometimes.
Yeah. You need to be very vigilant at this time of the year, particularly if you're growing dahlias outside. Yeah. Now, I've got some really nice perennials that I grew from seed last year, and I've just potted them on, and they've got very, very bright green growth at the moment. And I've actually got them protected by a sheep's fleece, which is called Slug Gone or Slug Away, and it's a pelleted sheep's fleece, mm-hmm. and you pop it around the bottom of the pot, you know, in on the top of the soil around the plant, and then it forms this like a woolly mat, and then the foot of the slug doesn't like to go over the top of it. There are all sorts of biological things that you can get for slugs and for snails too, but one of the other things you need to be aware of at the moment is vine weevil grubs. And vine weevil grubs are in your pots. Not in everybody's, but, you know, in mine there are.
Yeah.
And so you do have to be careful of that. And particularly if, like me, you reuse your compost. And a vine weevil grub is a little white maggoty thing with mm-hmm. a bright orange head. Very, very easy to spot. So when you've got that in your compost, in your pots, then you do have to get rid of that compost and don't reuse it.
So use new compost if you find something of that nature. Yeah. I mean, say it's just one of those problems that every now and then, you know, it's particularly last year it happened to us with the potatoes, and it just seemed that these things were just eating the plants alive. Almost.
Yeah, did you get them? Was it little black slugs that you got?
Don't really know. Didn't really see them. There were the caterpillars as well were at it.
Right.
Of course.
I mean, I grow as organically as I can, as mm-hmm. you know. Mm. But if something's going to devastate what I've sort of worried over for weeks on end, I'm going to do something about it. What I do tend to do is to use an organic spray, which I think I've spoken to you about this before, haven't I, about a garlic spray.
Oh, yes.
And you mush down garlic and you put some soap solution with it and then you just spray the plants. Hostas particularly, if anybody has hostas, that's a real great one for that. It really does. It stops the little blighters in their tracks.
So many little things to worry about in the garden. The other thing that, of course, a lot of people haven't been able to do, but, of course, as the temperature's warm, the grass grows. I saw somebody a couple of weeks ago that was out mowing their lawn, and the end result was basically a mud patch.
Terrible. Keep off it. Seriously, keep off it. And if when the weather dries out like it's done this weekend a little bit, then really what you need to do is to make sure that the blades on your lawnmower are raised as high as you possibly can. It means a little bit more work, but there we are. And you talked about pests a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I did a talk last week down on the south coast in Sussex. And I asked the question, what was the worst pest in your garden?
Mm-hmm.
And a lady put her hand up in the air and I said, yes, what is it? She said, my husband.
That'll be me.
And I loved it.
I I mean, to be truthful, my wife's the one with the green fingers. She's the one that makes all the decisions. I'm just the one that does the umping and lumping.
You do the hard work, too.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't say the hard work, because I think there's a lot of hard work in that skill, and some of the end results are quite phenomenal. And yeah. you've got to look on in awe.
Can I suggest something to her? That she actually sows indoors another crop of runner beans.
Okay, yeah, I'll pass that one on. And
please do.
Yeah, they're okay to grow in a trough, aren't they?
They're absolutely fine to grow in a trough. That's not a problem. Mm. A good variety, and this is good for the listeners as well, is a variety called Moonlight.
Moonlight.
Now, it looks like a runner bean, but it, in actual fact, is a cross between a runner bean and a climbing French. But it is the most gorgeous variety, and it crops and crops and crops. It's fantastic.
Well, how do you make that work? So at the end of the year, what do you do?
Well, we don't do anything. The hybridizers have done all that.
So you just leave it in the trough over the winter and it starts again, does it?
Yes. Yeah, but did you save your own seed last year?
No. These are new bought seeds. I'm well down the list of knowing how these things are actually done, and I think with Mrs. W, the idea is basically go get some seeds, plant them, and then take it from there.
Yeah,
but she had a room full of seeds in pots, and when I say a room full, I meant a room full. You couldn't get much else in there at the time, so it was something.
You want to see my dining room table?
that's probably one of the places I would guess you could do. See, you eat off a tray then, obviously.
Isn't it exciting?
It is. I will pass that message back on. And for a minute, I thought when you said a little tip for Mrs. Williams was get a new husband who knows a bit about gardening.
Tell her I'm always at the end of a phone.
All right. OK, Jean, that's wonderful. For now, Jean, I think we've just about run out of time. We've covered some fairly basic stuff there, which hopefully will be of benefit to sort of many people. It certainly sort of shines a light for me on... Well, we've been going wrong, so it's a good thing. But for now, we'll look at what's happening further in the garden in a month's time. For now, Jean Griffin, thank you.
Thank you, Tony. It's been nice. And don't forget, anybody can contact us at any time.
Okay, yeah, that's send them in to tony.williams@susieradio.com, and we'll pass on your messages to Jean, and we'll try and get an answer for you. Jean Griffin, thank you.
Pleasure.